Hey everybody, this is WRA Podcast here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Are you an Australian wrestler? Do you have a promotion down under and need to get new t-shirts and sweaters to your fans? Wrestle Merch Printing is the place you need to be. Friendly, prompt service through their damn Facebook page, and guess what? TMDK? Hell yeah! Hunter Valley Wrestling? Oh hell yeah. Melbourne City Wrestling? Oh hell yeah. EPW Perth? The Bestos? Oh hell yeah. They trust Wrestle Merch Printing to get new merchandise to their fans. So hit them up on that Facebook page. That's right, that damn Facebook page, Wrestle Merch Printing. Send that private message, and guess what? They'll get back to you quickly, and guess what as well? Nationwide shipping all around Australia. Give me a hell yeah for that. Oh, hell yeah. Now let's enjoy the damn podcast.
This is FNX. Oh,
yeah! Hey, this is Big Brody Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
Hey, this is Kelly in English.
Don't worry. Just panic.
This is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
Hello, Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Mean Dean Olsen.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Charlie Evans.
This is five times a world heavyweight champion, the Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hey, welcome to the show, folks. Josh Armour here. Thank you for listening to Wrestle Radio Australia. It's on FNX.network, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, WrestleRadioAustralia.libsyn.com/RSS is where you can find the RSS feed, of course. Today, it's all about McMassive, the EPW Perth Tag Team Champs. Had an awesome fun chat with those guys a couple of weeks ago. I tell you what, just quietly, two of the nicest blokes in wrestling I've ever met. And yeah, we're just honored to have a chat with both of them. Of course, Mike Massive has been on the show before, but been hanging to get these guys on the show together ever since that chat. So Gavin Shoot, Fighter McGavin, is on the show as well. And yeah, you're really going to enjoy, I think, this episode of WRA. Now, it is out a little bit late. Sorry about that. For various reasons. The portion where we did plug, you know, the Great Aussie Bash, which took place just this past weekend, I've left all that in there because there's a pretty cool, a competition draw offering, if you will, from EPW Perth that the guys fill us in on around that portion of the chat. So I've left it all in there. And also my father, John Armour Classico, he sat in with us and I think he got a kick out of just watching us sort of record the podcast when I was chatting with Mr. Juicy and whatnot a while back. So this time I thought, bugger it, I'm going to rope him into the show. So you'll get to hear Dad. And for everybody that's been sort of asking how he's doing, doing well, considering he's fighting on and... doing well considering. So good on you, Dad, and yeah, fun episode coming up. Before we get into the chat though, just want to quickly let you know about our sixth category for the Listener's Choice Awards, Favorite Manager. So I've posted that little photo ticket up there on the Facebook page, and you can vote for your favorite Aussie manager, plus heaps of other categories, favorite male and female wrestlers, favorite event of the year, all that sort of good stuff, favorite episode of WRA or Healing Out or Axe Cast. I hear Josh Shooter will be catching up with Sean Hawkins from MC Dub and other promotions around Victoria. So hopefully that'll be coming up very, very soon here on the feed. And I'm churning them out tomorrow. My chat with the Bestos, Kellyanne and Brooksy. Two more of my favourite folks in wrestling. Just awesome the way that they support the podcast, and they've been guests, you know, multiple times, but not together. And they're really doing some cool stuff. We talked about intergender wrestling, TV tapings, all that good stuff, and had a bit of fun there. So check that one out tomorrow here on the feed. Myself, Brooksy, Kellyanne, and a couple of random guests that pop up later on. So yeah, that was fun bringing that to you in about 24 hours. Woo! Alright, let's waste no time. Let's get straight into it. The EPW Perth Tag Team Champs, Gavin Shootfighter McGavin and Mike Massive. McMassive. Enjoy.
G'day, how are you?
G'day, Wrestle Radio Australia.
And Mike Massive, of course, has been on the show before, but Gavin the Shoot Fighter, McGavin, making his debut. And like I've said to Mass on the show, and then now seeing you guys in person, the way that you guys like complement each other and the entertainment factor that you bring to the shows whilst going out there and busting your asses, it's pretty cool. And you've wrestled in Adelaide before, or is this your first time?
This is my fourth trip to Wrestle Rampage, the first time as teaming with Mass. I've been over with a few other tag partners before, once with Chris Weiss, once with Dan Moore, and then the last time I was here I wrestled Pat Graham one-on-one. But this is my first win here, and the key is to bring Mass with me, I think.
That's right, he's got to take the partner in crime. For me personally, I think this is probably about my fourth visit to Adelaide now. First three were independent on my own, and first time as McMassive, and we scored the victory. We defended those belts well. So, and first time on Wrestle Rampage, and I've got to say, wow, absolutely wow.
Well, yeah, the setup and also the turnout that they had tonight, a follow-on from the arena show, which, although it didn't sell out Adelaide Arena, I mean, it was near, I'd say at least an 800 crowd. It looked and felt like 1,000. And the way that they set up tonight was really well done. And then bringing in guys like yourself, Rufio's back from Queensland, Vice, Pitt, that whole crew, just a really cool... A really cool night.
Yeah, and I think, that's what I said to Gav on the way over here. I'm like, well, you know, I think we're going into a show following up the stadium show. So we've got to bring our best because I know Adelaide's going to bring their best fans along. And I think we did a pretty damn good job at it. So,
well, they loved you guys. And it was kind of an automatic sort of thing, I guess, with the opponents that you had out there. Not exactly fan favourites at the moment. So that did make it a little easier. But, it was just so cool to see you guys out there and having fun. That's the big thing that comes across more than anything is you guys are out there having so much fun wrestling, you know?
That's right, exactly. And that's what it's all about. And, I mean, I go out there to be the big, jolly, fat, fun guy. And I think Gav compliments me well. He seems to do a pretty damn good job as a wrestler, you know, more as a wrestler and on the entertainer sort of thing, you know?
Now, I've got to ask, Gav, with the earmuffs we have there protecting the ears, have we had any cauliflowers in the past or is that purely there for just to prevent that, really?
Well, those that have seen me without the headgear, which is very few, I've actually got pretty huge ears, so it does hide them from any danger.
Now that you've mentioned it, if you hadn't have said anything...
Yeah, I've had big ears quite my whole life, but the headgear is a bit of a throwback to the amateur days, so it's just something a little bit different as well.
Just fits with that whole thing of the shooter, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I tried to, one year coming into wrestling and trying to find a look, I tried to find something that was a bit unique, a bit different. I sort of had a look at the card and went, well, you know, everyone's got boots or kick pads, no one's wearing long socks, and no one's got any sort of thing on their head. Headgear works, and no one else is wearing butcher tights, and no one else was wearing the colours I was wearing at the time. So just make yourself stand out a little bit in the crowd. If a fan see me for the first time, they won't go home and go, oh, yeah, I really like that guy that was in trunks and boots. They're going to go, oh, the guy with the helmet. I remember him, the guy with the thing on his ears or whatnot, or the guy with the long socks, the guy in the yellow and the green. I mean, if you look different, you're going to stand out.
Yeah, and I think as a tag team as well, we've developed over the years. Like when we first got together, I believe it was at a Malaga Market show, and this is at a time when we were both independently wrestling solo. So I had my individual gear, which was red and green colours, and Gav had his own colours, which were yellow and black. So we thought, okay, we're now a tag team. Let's get matching gear. We've got to get matching gear because you're just more noticeable when you're in matching gear. So we thought, okay, I'm predominantly green, Gav's predominantly yellow. Let's put the two colours together, and funnily enough, we come up with a good old Aussie green and gold, and everybody relates to Aussie green and gold. And I think that's why when we walk through that curtain, whether we're in a state, you know, where they're going to treat us as heels, we just end up being faces because everybody adapts to the colours, they see the tassels, they see, you know, they see all these things about us that you've seen it yourself tonight. They just love it. You know?
And joining us as well here is Armor Classico, my father John, making his podcast debut. And you're a big fan of that. I know the whole green and gold sort of look because it screams Aussie, and you want to get behind that.
Well, you've got a real oi going there, boys. Whenever you go out there, I reckon if you come out and as soon as you step in the ring, just say oi oi, and you'll have them with you every time.
Why didn't you start the Aussie chant tonight then? It didn't come out
because I just thought of it then.
Well, see, now we're working on material for the next appearance of McMassive in Adelaide. So, and coming over with folks like Chris Weiss, Marcus Pitt, flying over with those guys and sort of them giving you the, you know, they've had experience here as well, so that must be handy to say, like, hey, these are the guys that you can rely on for advice, or this guy, if you, you know, need to know where the nearest servo is, like, that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, that's right, you know, and I spent a lot of, well, about 6 years of my life living in Adelaide, so I've got family over here, I've got friends over here already, and, you know, in the wrestling biz, the friends you make in the wrestling biz pretty much become family anyway, don't they, Gav? So when you travel from one state to another, you pretty much got yourself accommodation, you know, you've got guys throwing themselves to you saying, hey, Matt, Gav, where do you want to stay? You know, and it's good. It's a one big happy family industry, and that's what we love it.
One less cost is that hotel room, it helps.
Exactly, exactly, mate, yeah, because, you know, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people don't know, but there's certain costs that we have to outlay ourselves when travelling interstate, so to be able to get afforded accommodation, you know, food, all that sort of thing is just fantastic, you know?
It's awesome, the tight-knit family that Australian wrestling is. I mean, Rufio's from Queensland, I'm from Perth, and I've met him in two different places in my life. One's in Tasmania, and one's in Adelaide on wrestling shows.
Exactly.
But you see him after not seeing him for a year and whatnot, and you have a handshake, and you know, how you been, mate?
Cuddle and everything like that, you know? It's like that family, you know? And that's what we enjoy about this business so much. You know?
I'm counting on getting a big mass cuddle very, very soon at the end of this podcast. Look out, Dad's in on it, I think, as well. I've got to talk about the main event tonight. Were you guys out the back watching?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
The cage match it was. So basically, folks, it was Marcus Pitt, Jonah Rock and Jag against the Brotherhood, which is Havoc, SA hardcore wrestling legend as well, Havoc, Damien Slater and Chris Weiss.
You know, that was an absolutely huge main event. I mean, the first cage match I've seen in Aussie indie wrestling, especially in Adelaide anyway. And for me, that was just a main event match like no other that I've seen before. You know?
Yeah, it was probably, I said to someone backstage, it's the smartest cage match I've seen in a very, very long time. Yeah. I mean, they used the cage not so much as a weapon, which they did, but they used it as an obstacle. They had Marcus Pitt and J-Rock on the outside, so they couldn't get in, so it was made as a barrier. And then when they did get in, they used cable ties to take two of them out of the match. So they used they actually used the cage rather than just climbing up the top and jumping off it or slamming someone's head into it, which we've seen 1,000 times. They did some stuff I haven't seen before, and it was really, really clever. And as you said, a great match. And then when the 1-2-3 came, I think the crowd was very, very surprised because they thought Team DK is going to come up here, they didn't. The Brotherhood came over the top. It was a really, really good match, and I think it's got the fans chomping at the bit, wanting to see what's going to happen for the rest of the year.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think with the words Jag said there at the end, I think Havoc's got it coming his way, eh? Because we all know the mighty don't kneel.
And what about EPW with you guys? How is things looking for 2016? Are we looking at still sticking with the tag as a focus?
Yeah, I mean, McMassive, that is our main focus. That's where what's brought most of our success. I mean, we've been together for about 3.5 years now.
Yeah.
Picked up the tag titles twice. We've been voted Tag Team of the Year over in WA 3 years and running
three
now.
And that was just that to us was just mind blowing. I mean, once is good, two is great, but three times in a row is just, you know, it's living the dream basically. And you know, we get together at the start of every year. We set ourselves goals. Where do we want to go? What do we want to achieve? And as long as we keep to them, we're on a run, you know. And as you've seen tonight, as soon as we walked out of that curtain, people knew who we were. Now, we're not known very much over in the eastern states here. We are known a little bit, but, you know, obviously the word gets around who we are, and with promotions and promo videos and all that sort of stuff, people know who we are. And, I mean, we're in the ring for 2 minutes. I didn't even have to ask a question, and what were people chanting?
Teabag time. Exactly. And you weren't even in the bloody ring and they were chanting it. And I'm just like, the guy, like, right to my... right to my left, started chanting teabag time before I even could, and I was just like, wow, like there's more and more, not just like wrestling fans about, but there's more and more fans that are coming to the shows and following the national scene, like, and what's happening in fucking 2,000-3,000 kilometres away in Perth. It's amazing.
That's what blew us away. The first time we went interstate together was in Tasmania, and we got there, and Tasmania was as far away from Perth as you could possibly be, and Mass dumps the bloke on his ass and asks the crowd what's the time, and 350 people there without even batting an eyelid, just it's teabag time.
So yeah, considering it was our first time in Tassie, they had no idea who we were, but I think the key to that as well is a fan interaction. Like, we always get involved with the fans, you know, like when we first come up with our name, our finishing move, we had a competition. We said, right guys, we need a name for our finishing move. And you you know, we had fans coming in, give us all different names. We said, okay, we've got a winner. Here's your prize pack. Great. Moved on from there. The other thing I think as well is with our tag team gear, matching gear, is we've got written on our tights what the crowd already know. You see, so we're basically talking to the crowd, even though we're involved in a match. So when it comes to time, Gav does his dives. Gav, are you okay? The whole crowd is just, I'm okay. He's got it on his tights. What's the time? It's teabag time. I've got it on my tights. So we get that interaction with the fans, even when we're not physically face-to-face in front of them, you know?
You know, that's something really cool that you mentioned there about how you put it out there to the fans and said, come up with our name. Because, like, they're the ones that are going to be coming to buy the tickets, to see you, to buy the merch, to get photos with you guys with the belts after the show, which I'm bloody pissed off I didn't get those photos with you guys in your gear. I'm spewing. But got to get him on the gimmick. But, like, that's really cool because, like, wrestlers and people in wrestling appreciate the fans, right? Anyone listening, sitting there listening who's just a fan, people do appreciate it. I know I do, right? But that's an extra level of really showing them that we care by getting them so involved with it. There's somebody sitting there and going, like, they're McMassive because of me.
That's exactly it. I mean, there's, without them, McMassive wouldn't have the success that we've had. I mean, we wouldn't be getting asked to come into state. We wouldn't have won 3-time wrestler tag team of the year. The fans really, really are the key to McMassive, because without that fan interaction, we're just a big guy and a little guy out there doing some moves. But they're the ones that bring something to the show. If we turn up and we do what we do, that's great. But if they bring the noise that they bring, then that's when promoters go, hey, these guys are valuable to our card.
And, I mean, nothing makes me more happy other than to see the fans happy. You know, like, they might have a shit week at work, so they think, bugger it, I'll go to the wrestling show. We can put a smile on their face, our job's done. You know, and that's why I get such a kick out of this business, because, you know, I'm providing entertainment to people, I'm putting a smile on their face, you know. I may be getting me man boobs out, I may be putting me balls in somebody's face, but they love it. They absolutely love to see it. And, you know, if it's making them happy, it's making me happy, so I'm not going to stop, you know.
We had something quite nice just on our Facebook. One of the fans got a photo with us tonight. A little boy bought the McMassive shirt. We put the belts on him, raised him up. And his mum's already put it on Facebook and tagged us and thanked us for making a little boy's night. So, I mean, it's really awesome when you walk through and the kids have high fives. Because being a little kid, being 5'6", they look at us, and to them, we're no different than the guys that they see on TV. We're larger than life. And you know, some people take that for granted and don't give everything back to the fans. But just to stop and give them an autograph and a high five and a photo means the world to them. Yeah.
And now, you may believe this or not, but back home in EP Dub, there are actually fans that after our match would stick their head over the guardrail, and Gav can back this up, that will put their head over the guardrail and ask for a motorboat. Now, how, to me, that is just like, wow. What have I done?
Well, and also, you know, if they grab just like a little bit of chest hair, they might eBay it, you know what I mean? We can get a bit of a craze happening here.
Hey, I mean, it's even getting to the stage now at EP Dub, isn't it, Gav, where we're getting fans rocking up with fake beards and we're thinking, why aren't we selling these? Sure. You know, it's like, they're beating us to it. We can sell these for $5 each and make a million out of them, you know?
Well, that's like when you guys were on, and I'll give them the plug right now, we'll get it out of the way, Drawing Heat with Beige and the Dude, become two very good mates of mine in the world of podcasting, and their show is awesome. The way that, like, we sort of pulled back on doing the WWE coverage because there's a million bloody podcasts that do that. There's not many that cover Australian wrestling. So that's our focus. But it's cool when with their show where they got such a great blend of talking about that stuff, feeling like you're in your, you know, the lounge room with your mates having a yak about John Cena and whatever, and then they're covering and reviewing the shows that you guys are doing. Like, but, you know, I've completely forgotten. See, there you go, guys. I got so wrapped up in the plug.
I think they did want us to give you one message, was to give up your Vince Russo impersonations, I think it was. Was it Vince Russo?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought there was another message they had for me. What was that?
Fuck Josh Armour, I believe.
Fuck Josh Armour, there it is.
There it is.
That's the one. There you go, fellas. The message was reached.
But in all seriousness, shows like theirs and shows like your own, I mean, you guys do this for the love of Australian wrestling, and it helps to get our name out there. It helps to get Wrestle Rampage, EPW. It helps to make the scene bigger, because if someone doesn't know that, that's the biggest enemy of Australian wrestling, is people just not knowing about it. I mean, EPW's been around for 15 years in Perth, and there are people that just don't know about it. I mean, it's not on TV every week. It's not on the radio. So you could go through your life and not find out. And as soon as they do, they're there. I mean, that's what happened with me. I lived in Perth my entire life. Had no idea that EPW existed. If I had, I would have started training when I was 17 instead of 23. But as soon as I found out, I went down, I watched a show, and I was hooked, and I haven't missed one since.
And that's like the thing that we're trying to do, you know, is getting it out to more people. What's the vibe like over in Perth? Like, as far as, do you find that a lot of the crowds these days at EPW are a lot of like the return fans, or do you find that you get those few casuals in and then they'll maybe come back a few months later? Like, because there seems to be a real, that's the thing that the promotions really have a hard time more than anything is figuring out is what type of fans are we drawing and are we keeping them and how do we bring in new ones? Like, it's such a head fuck for a promoter, because you're sitting there thinking, what do I got to do? Like,
I think it's pretty exciting. I mean, there's one guy that's on our roster now that came to his first EPW show as an 8-year-old kid sitting in the crowd watching, and he is now our Rousing Star Cup champion and our Invitational Tournament champion. Yeah. So we've had these people that have literally grown up with EPW. There are people that were watching EPW as kids and now bring their own kids to EPW. We've got fans that have been there since the start. We've got fans we've picked up along the way. And we're starting to get a lot of new fans as well that are just hearing about it for the first time, you know, through social media and through Facebook. So it's building up again. There was a stage there when, you know, there's a lot more promotions popping up, and it was hard to keep all of the fans and whatnot because there was just so much wrestling available in Perth. But we're starting to sway that way again, where we're finding new fans. And I think just in general, you know, what happens overseas tends to dictate how popular wrestling is in Australia. And I think wrestling's kind of starting to become cool again. So there's a lot of kids around about that 16, 17, 18 that are liking wrestling and admitting it, and they're going out and spending their money on shows.
It's not so much that it's the boom, you know.
That's right. And what I've found surprising as well is you'll get a lot of like a lot of rookies who we've got now were once fans of the show. They'd come to the show, they'd watch the show, they go, hey, if this guy can do it, that guy can do it. You know, he's 300 kilos, he's 80 kilos. If it's all spectrums of people that can do it, I might give it a shot myself. They give it a shot themselves. Next minute, they're in the ring, you know. And there's an iconic photo of me and Gav, I believe, at a reawakening a few years ago where you were in a match. I think it was a hardcore match. And you were, Gav was coming out through the entrance with a big fitness ball or something. And there's me to the side on the other side of the guardrail cheering him on. 4 years later, we're tag team champs. So anything's possible, you know. I was a fan of wrestling then, and then I loved it so much, I thought, hey, I might give this a go and see what becomes, and then next minute, we're tag champs. And for me, that is one iconic photo that stands out for McMassive, because that was sort of like before McMassive ever became McMassive, you know. And it's just a great feeling to once be a fan and now be on the other side of the guardrail and be in the ring and have the fans cheering for you. And backtracking to before, when I said I lived in Adelaide, I never knew there was wrestling in Australia. And then I seen a flyer somewhere advertising a wrestling show in North Adelaide, and it was in a hall somewhere in North Adelaide.
Would have been the Estonian.
Estonian Hall. And the one standout moment for me that I can remember was, you shut up, Hitman Julio. Now that memory has stuck in my head forever. So then I started getting stuck into him. No, you shut up, you shut up. And he was getting back at me and stuff. And then he brought his opponent over and threw him into us at the chairs just to say, no, you shut up, you know. And that's moments in wrestling that you remember that you don't forget, you know. And I think we've given a few of those moments too, haven't we, Gav? That's right, especially down in Tassie, and even more so here now. I think people are going to remember us for quite a while.
Yeah, I really, really hope so. I mean, my first experience with EPW, as I said previously, was the NWA show at Challenge Stadium. And I mean, as a young kid, I went up and like shook Mikey Nichols' hand and said, congratulations on winning the belt and whatnot. And now he's a guy that I get to hang around with in the locker room and chat to and whatnot. And I mean, that show just blows my mind, because I've got it on DVD, and it's literally like a who's who of before they were stars. I mean, Daniel Bryan was on that card, Antonio Cesaro was on that card, Machine Gun Anderson was on that card, Joey Ryan was on that card, Shane and Haste and Mikey Nichols, Jag, a very, very young Damian Slater. So many guys that have gone on and done incredible things. And I think the other reason that's it's so exciting in Australian wrestling now is because a lot of people are making it really, really far. Like you saw Mike and Shane sort of make it over in Japan, become tag champs in Noah, and now, you know, you've got, I think, was there three or four separate Australian women on NXT, and there's an Australian guy on NXT.
I was watching an episode a few weeks ago, and there was a it was a battle royal where the final four came down. There was three Aussies in there, and Buddy Murphy was on the same show, Matt Silver. And I'm just like, oh my god, Aussie overload! Like this is. Who would have thought this 4 or 5 years ago? Nobody, you know? Like, and then again, it gives these new people are coming through hope that I can do it.
Exactly. When I started training with EPW, they took me aside, and they took the whole group aside and said, look, when you start training to be wrestling, not everyone's going to make it. Not everyone's cut out for it. You need to realise that the best you might achieve is having a match here in front of 10 mates while you're training. If you're good enough, you know, you'll get onto an EPW show.
I didn't even get to the training match.
But now, as I take some of the trainees at the EPW Dynamite Factory, I say to them, look, there are Australians making it. There are Australians working for WWE. There are Australians working in Mexico. There are Australians working in Japan. There are professional wrestlers. This is how they make their money.
And two came out of EPW.
Exactly, and you guys could do that. I mean, as I said, I didn't start training until I was 23. We've got guys over there like Taylor King, who started when he was 17. So by the time he's my age, he's going to be a 14, 15-year veteran. So these guys have a really good shot. The pathway has been forged for Australians to make a mark on the wrestling scene.
And I think a perfect example of that is the fantastic news we heard today about one of our very own EPW ladies, I believe, that has scored a booking in Asia, I believe, somewhere.
In Myanmar, yeah. Alison Cruz from EPW, she's still in her rookie year, and it was just announced that herself, Damian Slater and Hartley Jackson are heading over to Myanmar for a charity benefit show, that I believe, in February, which is just huge. Yeah. She's got an international booking in her first year.
And it's absolutely amazing. Like Gav said, you know, it's her first year, and already she's international. I mean, that's just amazing.
I've seen her wrestle on one of those, like the game show, I think it was. Yep. One of the shows at the game sports bar. Now, you can tell, and this is something you guys were talking about on Drawing Heat, you can tell that she has been training extensively before she has been put in front of a crowd, to the point where you can tell that not only her trainers are confident in her, but she's confident in herself to go out there in front of a paying, and I always stress this, a paying audience, right? And then put on, and now she's on a card with, like, I saw that fly earlier, like Sonjay Dutt, Masahiro Chono, NWO, too sweet me, bro. Like an amazing lineup on that card, and she's going to learn so much from that, the travel, the experience, when she comes back just from that one show. She's going to learn so much. Like,
I sent her a message today and congratulated her. And I just said, look, have fun, take a lot of photos, learn as much as you can. Yeah. But it's like you were saying, at EPW, if you make it out of the factory and onto a show that people have paid money to see, you're going to be good enough, because the people are paying their good money to see you. They deserve to see a polished product. And we owe it to the trainee themselves to make sure they're ready. You don't want to send someone out there to wrestle before they're ready. You don't want to send someone out to drive a car before they're ready. You want to make sure someone has the skills to go out there and do themselves justice.
Yeah, and I mean, being involved in the same wrestling fed as these people, it just makes you feel so proud, you know, not only for them, but proud for the fed that they've accomplished, you know, international superstars. It's great.
It's pretty cool, and we always stress it here on the show, but Australian wrestling's in the best place it's been ever since the World Championship Wrestling, since Live at Festival Hall, since those days.
It's definitely the most competitive it's ever been. I mean, we've been to Melbourne this month, we've been to Adelaide here, and we're going to back in Perth, and just across all three shows, there's just world-class guys and girls. I mean, it really, really is super competitive. There's people flying all over the country, wrestling just about every single week. Guys are in amazing shape. They've got great gimmicks. They're flying international as well. There's just, if you got the very, very best of Australian talent and put them together on one supercard, it would stack up against anything in the world, I believe.
Like tonight's match with Gav, I was quite impressed the way how you wrestle, because you saw these two people, you got the great big fella in the side there, and all of a sudden there's this other person in the corner wrestling. I'm thinking to myself, geez, this bloke can wrestle. And I was totally impressed by the way how you wrestled. And then all of a sudden it comes back, you're sitting on his shoulders, you're 9 foot up in the air, flying through the ring, bouncing off of someone, and then just throwing them around, wrestling again. And I was really gobsmacked at how well you do wrestle. And that says something to me about what you're doing in West Australia. And we saw it here tonight in Adelaide. And I was totally impressed.
And Dad's usually way more critical than me, so that's saying something right there. That's a thumbs up.
I think the WA guys, the EPW people, put on a really good showing. I mean, I was talking about Chris Weiss the other day. Chris Weiss, we went to Melbourne. Chris Weiss was in Melbourne at MCW. We've come here. Chris Weiss was here. Yep. We're going back to EPW next week, and Chris Weiss will be there, and he's main eventing all three of those shows. Mm. And EPW, Wrestle Rampage, and MCW are three of, if not the three biggest promotions in Australia, and to main event all three of them in 1 month, it shows the quality of that guy. And he is a EPW born and bred Dynamite Factory produced wrestler.
And you know what's funny about Chris Weiss? I think sometimes he flies under the radar a bit on the national scene because he's not full on with the self promotion. He's not. I've hit him up about doing a podcast. He's like, oh, I don't think I'd have much to say. Like, he's so on the down low that maybe that's why you don't hear about him as much, because he's not pushing the Instagram hard and all that. So, you know what I mean? Like, everything that wrestlers in 2016 do. But he's so good, and as a heel, he's so fucking hateable. He's got that mug that just makes you go, hey, come on, man. I'm just like, you. He's got that look about
him. He's got no self-promotion or anything like that, but for him it works. He doesn't need the self-promotion wherever he goes, whether he's heel or face. He gets the reaction he wants, and rightfully deserves.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, regardless of, he's not out there hitting all the social media up, but he's still getting booked all over the country and booked really solid positions and picking up titles all over the place. And like, he's a very, very good example of what EPW produces in wrestling. Right. Actual wrestlers who wrestle.
That's right.
And maybe a good way of protecting that heel vibe is by laying low on the social media so that he's not as accessible. People aren't going to be thinking, oh, I'm going to hit up and say, oh, what a great match, because he might just tell me to go get stuffed. So I'm not going to, you know what I mean? But that's like a really, it's actually a smart, as kayfabed as you can be in 2016, that's actually fairly clever, I think. Like,
yeah, it's a fine line. I mean, people want to give back to the fans and whatnot, but you also want to keep that mystique about yourself. With social media and whatnot, you know, I think most wrestlers in Australia have sort of got two Facebook accounts, one for real life and one for wrestling.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll get the friend requests from the fans on the real life one. You think, you know, I need to keep this divide. You know,
you need a little buffer zone. Like, we all love our fans, but there's that tiny, tiny buffer that you need just to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I absolutely love it, and it's pretty rare for me that I don't tend to walk down the street and get recognised as Gavin McGavin. I think it's because I don't have the headgear on, perhaps. It'll happen from time to time. Usually it'll happen at a primary school that I'm working at as a teacher. A kid will come up and go, I think I saw you doing a boxing match the other day.
So, because I know that Mr. I don't know if I should... Oh, bugger it, he's talked about it before. Damien Slater. He's talked about it on the show. He's a teacher. And there was a show, Australian Wrestling All-Stars, a few months ago here in Adelaide, where I don't know what the deal was, where someone said, or he invited them to the show but didn't tell them that, hey, I'm, you know. And so he's come out there, and all these kids are just going crazy and giving him so much shit. And then later on I found out, oh my God, they're his students who just found out that their teacher is this badass wrestler guy. How do you, if you see a kid wearing a John Cena hat or something like that, do you sort of go up to say, hey, EPW, or do you try and keep that buffer?
I've gone through cycles, but when I first started, the first time any of the kids came to watch me wrestle, they found out, it was when I was actually learning to become a teacher, and my mentor teacher told the kids that where and when I was going to be wrestling, and they came to watch. And it was when I had a hardcore match against Bobby Marshall at Reawakening 10.
Oh, no.
So the crowd was swearing their heads off, saying, fuck him up, Bobby, fuck him up, Bobby, and holy shit when we superplexed each other onto a ladder, and we was smacking each other around with weapons, and the kids in my class were in the front row. So I got to school on Monday, and there was so many complaints at the office that this new teacher was promoting violence.
Complaints? Like, no, none of this, like, ha-ha or nothing like that. It was complaints.
The kids didn't mind, but the parents were complaining at the office. So from there, I'm like, okay, Yeah. No longer, I'm not telling any kids that I'm a wrestler. But then I'd sit there at a school assembly and there's 700 kids there. Yeah. And I'm thinking, if I could just get on the microphone right now and tell these 700 kids that there's a wrestling show down the road, even if 10% of them rock up, it's going to be absolutely massive. So, but these days now, I used to try and deny it and deny it and deny it, but if a kid recognised me, I'll say, yeah, that's me. Or you're dead right if I see a kid with the John Cena pencil case or whatnot. I'll go, did you know there's this company called EPW? And then they'll usually go and have a look, and then a few days later, they'll be like, you're in that company. I'm like, nah, just a mate who looks a lot like me. I don't wear headgear.
Brother. It's my twin.
For me, it's a bit easier, you know. For one, I'm not a school teacher, so I don't have to worry about promoting it to the kids. But I've got kids of my own, so I get them to do my dirty work for me, you know. Here, boys, take a couple of flyers, take them to school, you know. And it'll be like one of my kids will be getting picked on. Oh, don't mess with me. My dad will teabag you or something like that.
Walk the dog, let a box drop. go and spread the word, kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. I've got some quick-fire questions / notes here, which I did want to get to before my battery runs out on my phone and the battery runs out on the laptop. Let me check here. This is making for great radio. We're good. We're fine. Now, before we get onto that one, because that's going to actually require a bit of ballyhoo there. If you guys were a classic comedy duo, who do you reckon McMassive would be?
Okay, I'll answer this first. I am a big fan of spaghetti westerns, and your father sitting here might remember two guys by the name of Terence Hill and Bud Spencer.
Oh, hello.
And I think we are the perfect combination of Terence Hill and Bud Spencer. I'm the big fat bearded guy. He's a small, skinny, funny guy. You know, well, I do a bit of the funny stuff as well, but it's, you know, I think that McMassive remind me of Terence Hill and Bud Spencer.
I wish I could say we're as good as Abbott and Costello. That was some of my favourites. But I think we get along a bit better than Abbott and Costello. Usually the comedy duo sort of butt heads a little bit, but I think you and I get along a little bit too well for that.
I think so. I mean, you just got to look at some of our McMassive fitness promos. I mean, you know, I'd be throwing flour in his face and chasing after him when he offers me a carrot and stuff like that. But hey, we're still best of mates, you know?
Maybe we are... Abbott and Costello.
Maybe.
Get onto YouTube, folks, and look up some McMassive promos, because they're entertaining. They're very well worth checking out. Now, let's get into it, folks. We're going to have to hit the stinger here. It is the first time we've had this segment in almost a couple of years now. It's time for Sunny Wash. I know you want me. We are talking about Tammy Sitch, and the big sunny news is the Vivid release. The porno is out, lads.
She's gone into porn.
It is out there for you to purchase and enjoy. I'm sure nobody will be purchasing it. They'll be bootlegging that like a son of a bitch. But thoughts on her new foray into film?
Well, good on her. She's obviously making money out of it. But after I seen One Night in China, I don't want to go there. So.
I don't know, I think there's probably a lot of wrestling fans from the mid-90s who are sort of rubbing their hands together and just thinking, wow.
Rubbing more than their hands together!
And they're probably thinking, this is amazing, finally. But I don't know, I haven't seen her lately, so I don't know how well she's aged. But
Look, I'd go there, but... But not a patch on the, you know, the goddess that I fapped over when I was younger. Sorry, Dad, but I'm sure you probably knew about that anyway. So what I got to ask, folks? Would we? I'm not offering a screening right now. I'll bust out your Kleenex. But would we actually sit down and take a peek?
I'd probably look at the introduction, and if it doesn't involve any sort of like wrist locks, waist locks, I'm not interested. I'm a family man now. I'm not into porn.
Well, there's go behinds, but I don't know if there's many takedowns.
I don't know if I could do it. Sunny was beautiful, and I loved her watching on TV, but she was also a little bit sweet and wholesome. I don't know if I could change my view of her that way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that sort of thing we'll just leave out to China. She's, that's it.
Yes, well, Tammy Sitch in Sunny Side Up. That is out now, and let's just say, folks, the trailer is not safe for work. So, Yeah, I did have a look, and let me put it this way.
I'm going to go home and I'm going to look it up now. Seriously.
I am. That's why you're charging your phone. It's got nothing to do with incoming calls. That's right. Flash player, damn it. Yeah. Oh, it's not working. Shit. So, yeah, I've seen the trailer. She doesn't exactly look that into it, and that's really a turnoff. Yeah. So I don't think I could watch the whole, because it's kind of like what I've heard about the China ones, where it's just... It's not pleasant. Like, it doesn't, and that creeps me out a bit. If she's there fucking having a ball with it, then fair enough.
Yeah,
but
I mean, because you're already familiarised with her, you know that she was a former pro wrestler. You just leave it alone, Sonny. Really,
yeah. I think it's just a shame when you see that sort of fall from grace, when people that used to be absolute superstars and whatnot have to turn to things that they probably wouldn't have done in the first place. I mean, if she is enjoying it and she's happy with that, then that's fantastic. But you just prefer to see them bow out a bit more gracefully.
See, that's the sad part about it, and this is where it's going to take a completely depressing turn, folks, is that she, apparently her Hall of Fame ring was on eBay, and she put it up for something like $100,000 or some bizarre like that, and then a week later the video's out.
So she's had a bit of financial trouble, and the porn industry's come along and said, we can help you out, and she's gone, beauty, flip me sunny side up.
And on that note, that was Sunny Watch. Oh, very well. Well, look, lads, I think we should wrap it up fairly soon, because you guys are going to have to go and get a feed and we're going to have to get home and whatnot. But EPW Perth, the Great Aussie Bash, that's happening. So by the time folks hear this Saturday at the Cyril Jackson Rec Centre, Bassendean, Perth, Western Australia, what's happening for you guys there?
Well, we'll be defending our titles there, as we do every show, don't we, Gav? We are,
we know that we're having a match. We're always willing to defend the titles, but we haven't been told yet whether or not it's a title match.
Okay, well, we're fighting champs, so one way or the other, it's going to happen. But more importantly than that, there's a number one contenders match, isn't there?
A four-team TLC number one contenders match to see who's going to be facing us sometime in the future. It's pretty huge, pretty stacked. You've got Gen Zero there with the Don and Hayden Zenith. You've got The Solution with Warship and AZ Vergara. Yep. Dan Moore and Jared Slate. Yep. And the fourth team is...
I believe Alex Kingston and
Chris Weiss, EPW Super Team. A lot of titles between those guys. Tag titles, singles titles, invitational trophies. Yeah, whichever team comes out on top from that is going to be pretty stiff competition for us.
Yeah, I think so. So we're going to be watching that match very, very closely.
Oh, but, I mean, not only that, Davis Storm, one-on-one with Mikey Nichols.
Yes. Hello.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll be sitting backstage glued to the screen watching that one.
I mean, you got EPW Originals there, and two of the guys that it's fair to say that the company may not be around and where it is today if it weren't for them. In the beginning, you know, with the folks like you Jags and people like that that came over and, you know, really established EPW as what it is, what it became.
A lot of people don't know, and Gav can dive this into it more than me because he's been at EPW a lot longer, but from what I know, there's a really big connection between EPW and South Australian wrestling, isn't there?
Well, Wrestle Rampage used to be EPW Adelaide.
That's right, and I mean, from what I know originally, when EPW was first getting up on its feet, the guys thought, okay, we need to train, we need professional trainers, we're not going to do this in the backyard. So where'd they come? They came to Adelaide. They got trained here. You know?
Definitely, they were trained by people like Rocky Manera and people like Jag Hartley Jackson. But like you were saying, EPW founders, flat out, no Davis Storm, no Perth Wrestling. That's the situation that it was. There was no Perth Wrestling. And there was a bunch of guys that got together, and they all had a huge part in building up Perth Wrestling and building up EPW, but Davis Storm was definitely the spearhead for that. Yeah. He was, still is, the heart and soul of EPW. If he hadn't have done what he did, if he hadn't have put his life into EPW, I don't think there'd be any pro wrestling in Perth whatsoever. And Mikey Nichols is just the ultimate ambassador for what EPW is all about. He was the first guy to break out into America, and with Shane moving into Japan, and he's really blazed a trail and shown anyone in Australia that if they work hard, I mean, he has worked his ass off. He has put everything to the side and dedicated his life to this, and he is one of the best wrestlers on the planet. He's fantastic.
And Mikey and Shane, like, as well with Jonah Rock, I mean, they've done the hard yards in Japan. And when I say the hard yards, I mean as in, you know, you stay in the dojos, you scrub the ring mats, you run around after the pros, like the more senior guys, you know. And as a young boy, basically, you know, you're really doing the hard yards, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is, the tours that they send them on. In the end, it was worth it because, you know, it's part of the goal at the end.
From what they've told me, it's just an absolutely amazing experience to live that life of a pro wrestler. I mean, we've all flicked through the pages of Chris Jericho's book and Kurt Angle's book and all these guys that have done all these amazing things to get to where they are now, and they're living that life. So, I mean, I'm sure could be unbelievably tough, and I don't think everyone could do it. I don't know if I'd be able to handle doing that, but that's how bad they want it, and that's why they're going to make it to the top.
Yeah, I'd be able to do everything aside from the cardio. That's about it. So I'd eat plenty of sushi and rice and all that sort of stuff.
I was going to say, the rice game, you'd be all over that.
I'd be on it.
On it like white on rice.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
There we go. So let's take it home, fellas. Let's go to the finish spot. Thank you for having a yak with us again, Mike, and for the first time, Shoot Fighter McGavin. We'll get your plugs out of the way at the moment. Social media, first of all, Shoot Fighter McGavin.
You can find me on Facebook at Gavin at the Shoot Fighter McGavin, and of course you can find our team at McMassive, which is MC space Massive. I don't know why there has to be a space there, but they
Facebook
wouldn't let us put it normally.
Put it together, and my personal site is Mad Mike Massive.
Apart from that, need to plug the Home Fed Explosive Professional Wrestling down in Perth. And if you want to check out any... Oh, this goes national and international, yes?
We have plenty of listeners over in the USA and far reaches of Africa. So,
okay, well, definitely Australian fans, you need to listen to this one. Check out EPW Perth on Vimeo. You can find all of our shows. There is a competition running this year. If you hire and buy EPW videos, you can go into the running to be flown to Reawakening this year from anywhere.
Well, hang on, flown, as in your airfares will be paid and you will be...
So basically, if you purchase any show from last year of EPW on Vimeo, you go into the draw to win.
I think it's a subscription type thing. So if you sign up for the year's worth of shows that are coming out, then you go into the draw to be flown to Reawakening. So if you're in Adelaide, you're in Queensland, Tasmania, you'll be flown to Perth on the weekend of Reawakening.
I believe they're also very affordable. I think they're about $6.99 to rent and about $13.99, $14.99 to purchase.
So cheaper than that.
Cheaper than that. So get on there, check it out, EPW on Vimeo.
That's it, and of course Vimeo online, you know, streaming video, so you don't need the DVD, you don't have to wait for that to be purchased and pressed and all that sort of jazz. Bang, you can get into it. And so some of you Tasmanian fans, Tassie Championship Wrestling fans that you saw McMassive, that includes you guys. I know sometimes you do get left out from inclusion of Australia, you know, it's like the Billy Connolly bit where he goes like, you buy a brooch of Australia, never a wee fucking hinge with Tasmania down the bottom, you know. But Tassie, we're thinking of you now, so that's awesome. And again, EPW really giving something back to the fans in that, and that's what I love about that, you know.
Definitely. I think Reawakening has been the show in Australian wrestling for quite a long time. I mean, there are guys, anytime I travel anywhere in Australia, there are guys that say, hey, how do I get on a Reawakening? How do I get on an EPW show? Yeah, I think it's that bucket list sort of thing for an Australian wrestler to be on EPW and to be on Reawakening.
Yeah.
And it's the same for a fan. It's always the biggest show of the year. It's always got the best stars. Yeah. It's always got the biggest matches. So if you can get yourself flown there to watch this show, and all you have to do is watch the EPW product, and that's a reward in itself.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. And for more info on the Reawakening events and the history of, check out the On The Fringe podcast with Dave Farley, Dave Storm. Some just awesome roundtable chats they had, just talking about, like we've been doing here, just shooting the shit about the past. And very cool. You'll learn a lot there, folks. So check those out. Thank you very much, fellas. And we'll make sure to get the old Colt Cabana photo gimmick before we bail out of here. I'll be back in just a sec, folks, to wrap up the show.
gonna put some butts in the seat.
Well, let me tell you something, dude. One place I'm not banned is Butts and Seats Podcast, brother. My main man, Frank Harris, and Josh the Thunder from Down Under Armour review WCW podcast, man, and they're from the 90s.
Black Blood's music, it's fucking hilarious. He looks like the combination of Kane and the members of Doom, and his music sounds like a breaker from Beverly Hills 90210.
There's also interviews and special episodes, man, and you can get it for free, brother, on iTunes and Stitcher. What you gonna do when Butts and Seats run wild on you, man?
Big thank you to McMassive, awesome stuff, and thanks to Wrestle Rampage as well for allowing us backstage to record that one. Very much appreciated. Of course, if you love the show, please do subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you've found the show. Hit that subscribe / follow button. You'll get every episode the second that it hits the internet, and you can also go back into the feed and check out some awesome content, not just WRA, but Healing Out with Ali Valles, Josh Shooter with the Axe Cast, and also you can hear Todd Eastman with some great interviews as well. And a heap of EPW Perth talent have been on Wrestle Radio Australia. So if you're an EPW Perth faithful, get onto it, folks. Check out some great interviews. Just quietly, the one with Marcus Pitt was freaking hilarious. So, you'll dig that if you have a listen. All right, we're on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU. On Facebook, just search Wrestle Radio Australia. And also, if you dug the show and you're on iTunes, please do leave us a review and a rating. We always love to see those and helps us get a bit higher up in the rankings. Don't forget, tomorrow, Brooksy and Kellyanne, the bestos, here on WRA. That was an awesome time. I can't wait to bring that chat to you. Big thank you to Wrestle Merch Printing for supporting the show. Jimmy Havoc MCW Special Edition T-shirts available at the Jimmy Havoc shows coming up in February. Thank you to Thunderstag for the theme music. But most of all, as always, I want to thank you for listening. ONFNX.network, of course. Sorry, fellas. This has been Wrestle Radio Australia. We'll catch you tomorrow with the bestos. Woo! I'm Josh Armour. Peace.
Saints and sinners, lovers and losers, cuts and run wild with the and your daughter's goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before. Chewed up and spit out, we won't take no more. If you wanna live, you're gonna have to fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday night. Yes, well, the action is, if you want some, come and get some. Here's where the action is, but you better be ready to take some. Yeah, check it out.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Flip me sunny side up.